ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
So my question to you is, what is there some preference of some certain topic or something more philosophical or historical or practical or psychological, or some has, or someone has some certain question, some desire in any kind, in which direction we should speak? Practical. Okay. In which direction practical? Something more practical. Okay. Yeah, this is what I feared. I'm not so the practical. I shouldn't have given this as an option. What is practical? Okay, let's see. Okay, we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, called Dhyana Yoga. And we are taking this very nice verse number 30. Yo mang pasyati savatra sarvang chamai pasyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati sachame na pranashyati. Translation: for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. 6:30. Okay, again, that everyone gets the verse. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:38, Pramanjana Chulita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Deva Ridayesha Vilokayanti Yang Shyama Sundaram Machintya Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I worship the prime evil Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as Paramatma within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to love for a moment, to bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gavinjana Salapya Chakshuru Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panum Langai Tigrim Yat Kripatam Mande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhanam Dikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So any questions? Any point you want to hear more about of this purport? No? Okay. So Krishna says here, because this is practical, to see Krishna everywhere, to remind ourselves that Krishna is everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Nothing is separate of Krishna. So we have to learn to see everything in relationship to Krishna. But not in that sense that we think this harmonium is Krishna, but we understand it's his energy. It's his transformation of energy. He is the source, and from him emanate unlimited energies. He's most powerful and has unlimited kinds of energies, which he creates the whole material universe. And in Bhagavad Gita, he very often gives these explanations of his being in the creation. He gives both, actually. Bhagavad Gita is, in that sense, a little complicated, because he says, I am in this world, I am the world, but at the same time, I'm not the world. And I'm aloof from the world. So we understand this is Chintya Beda Beda Tattva, that Krishna is his energy and it's not the energy. Both at the same time. The same and difference at the same time. Like the example is given of the sunshine, which is only existing because of the sun and has certain qualities of the sun. So in that sense, it is the sun, but at the same time, of course, the sunshine is not the sun. It's a difference if there is sunshine in this room or if the sun is in the room. Obviously, difference. But at the same time, the sun can only sunshine can only exist because of the sunshine and has some certain qualities like the sun, like it's warm and it's bright. So this world can only exist because Krishna is the foundation and this is his energy. And the more we study, especially Bhagavad Gita, we should remind ourselves that this is his creation, this is his world, and we see everything in connection to Krishna. Like a mother who goes into a room and sees a little shoe of her child, so immediately she thinks, oh, the child. And immediately has loving emotions, not because of a shoe. She doesn't love the shoe. Oh, such a nice shoe. Yeah, now there's in modern fashion consciousness, people are like this. Oh, look at this. Nice shoes, and they love the shoes. No? But when the mother has these motherly feelings because of the child, she's immediately reminded of the child. No? And in the same sense, the devotee, who is very absorbed, he sees anything in this world and immediately is reminded of Krishna. This is what we have to learn. This means Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says. That it doesn't matter what you see, you're reminded of Krishna. Like you see this sky, the blue sky, and think, oh, Krishna is blue. Oh, Krishna is also blue. And you think of Krishna. Or you see the cows, and you immediately think about Govinda, how he's herding the cows, and he's going to the forest with the cows, and he loves the cows. Or you see the devotees. You think, oh, these are Krishna's devotees. Or you see fire. You know, interesting, this is Krishna. He says, I am the fire. And Prabhupada said, even to an alcoholic, he should drink alcohol and should think the taste is Krishna. Because he cannot stop drinking alcohol, he's addicted. But how he can purify himself or get rid of it more and more, he should remind himself the taste of this nice liquor is Krishna. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Raso, what's the verse? Rasoam apsu, what is it? Rasoam apsu kaunteya. Rasoam apsu kaunteya. Raso, rasa means the taste. And ham, aham, I am the taste of water. Kauntya, prabhashmi, shashi, suryo. I am the light of the sun and the moon. It's also nice. If you see the moon, you should think about Krishna. Oh, Krishna is... this is when we get this, it's called shastra chakshushaha, meaning the vision of the scriptures. We have a vision of the scriptures. We learn to see everything through the scriptures. And when we are very absorbed through that, this is the mercy of the scriptures. When we read them more and more, they purify our mind and our consciousness. And we are reminded by the different articles in the world immediately of Krishna. So the moon is a very important feature in Krishna Lila in many instances. And you remember this. You remember Krishna's name, Krishna Chandra. It's the name of Krishna, Krishna Chandra. Because the moon is very beautiful. Or you immediately remember Prabhupada, who says, because once he was, someone challenged him and said, "What's the use of your movement? You are just 20 people. What's the use? Look, a mass of people is doing something different." And Prabhupada says, "Well, what's the use of the moon then? The moon is most important. In comparison, in quantity, is nothing to all the stars, to the nonsense, rascal stars. But he is most important in quality. In comparison to the nonsense, rascal stars, the moon is most important." At the same time, it's more important to be a good devotee. One devotee is so much more important than all these nonsense, rascal people. So the quantity is not important. Prabhupada always said, no? The moon and the nonsense, rascal stars. So you immediately remember the moon and you think, oh, Prabhupada, Kichai. Or you think of the moon. The moon is also compared, what is it, an act of devotion? I can't remember. There is a word said, Krishna has, what is it, 11 moons and half moons or something. That his toenails are like moonshine. And then his, there's some certain description there. I can't remember all the details. But it said also Krishna's toenails shine like thousands of bright full moons. And Prabhupada always said that a full moon light is very soothing in the hot summer season, especially in India. When it's hot all day long, and then at night it becomes very cool, and there's the full moon who is shining very bright, and his light is very cooling, and it's very nice, very pleasant. And then you remember the moon, and then you remember Prabhupada says, they were never there. They never went to the moon, these rascals, cheaters, liars. And then you think about it. And Prabhupada says, actually in one letter he writes, how is it that the moon should be only dust and desert? But it's glowing, it's shining, it's so effulgent. How is it that if it's just sand, sand is not shining so strong? And when it's complete night and you have full moon, it's actually very bright outside. You know? And it's night and you have full moon, you go outside, you see everything. It's almost like day. It's very bright actually. So how is it that some desert shines like this? So what is this? The moon must be of a different kind of substance if it reflects the sun of the light of the sun so nicely. And how is it that the moon is a desert? It's in Vedic scripture said the moon is the predominating deity of all the vegetables and herbs. So how is it there's a desert if it's the predominating deity of all the plants? Actually, once the moon god appeared, Soma appeared, and there was a child. I think it was the child of, was it not? The Prachetas, the story was the Prachetas. Anyway, there was a child, and the child was crying. Oh, I'm hungry, because sometimes the sage, you know, the sage is meditating in the forest. And he's meditating, doing his austerities, and suddenly a very beautiful celestial girl comes by, and she's just walking by, and he hears her ankle bells. And immediately remembers, oh, I have to do something. And they make a child. And they make a child, and what happens? She gets, because these celestial girls, they don't have all the pregnancy, like now we have some women here who's pregnant, walking around like this. The celestial girls don't have a problem like this. They make a child very quick, okay, and then... And then they leave it in the forest. No, the nature will take care of them. And once there was a child like this, and it was crying, the moon appeared. And the moon took his, moon god took his finger and stuck it in the mouth and could suck nice Soma Rasa or something like this and became very strong. And this child, what was his name? Marisha or something? And she was given to the Prachetas then. And anyways, long story again. Anyway, so you remember the moon god, you remember the Bhagavatam, you remember Krishna appears in the moon dynasty, right? It said Ramachandra appears in the Surya Vamsa, Ram. But Krishna appears in the Soma Vamsa. These are the two dynasties of whom the Kshatriyas are coming. All the powerful Kshatriyas appearing in either the Moon Dynasty or in the Sun Dynasty. And this is explained in the Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam explains the genealogy, meaning the, no, genealogy, I don't know the English word, like the Stammbaum of all these great dynasties, and especially of the Kshatriya dynasties. And one goes through the sun god and one through the moon god. So Krishna appears in the Soma Vamsa. And then, of course, you remember when you see the moon, the Rasa Lila, that the moon was in full moon, it was a very pleasant. Was it autumn? I always remember. Autumn night, and Krishna met the gopis and were dancing Rasa Lila. So this is practical, that you will learn to see the world through the Shastra. And so many things. Yeah, you see, Prabhupada was perfect like this. He only saw through Shastra, and he was so convinced, and nobody could tell him something different. Prabhupada was sometimes not necessarily preaching so much by his arguments, but just by his conviction. So that every philosopher, a scientist, someone who knows so much, was just becoming like a mouse in front of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was like the acharya, and just, that's nonsense. Just with a couple of words, Prabhupada was defeating, because of the conviction of the pure devotee. And the other thing is definitely that Prabhupada was, as this description goes of the Bhagavad Gita here, that he was such a devotee who saw Krishna everywhere. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanina sandasa deva rida yeshu viloka yanti yang shyama sundara machinte guna svarupam govindam adi purusham tamang bhajami. This verse was quoted here, and it said, at first, interesting, Prabhupada in the first part of this paragraph, he explains exactly what we were talking now, that we learn to see Krishna in the creation. We learn to see Krishna in the world, and we are reminded of Krishna. Yeah? Then the second part, he explains that the pure devotee sees Krishna in his heart, directly. Not anymore in the energy, but he sees Krishna in his heart, and he quotes this verse, which says, when our eyes are anointed with the pulp of love to God, then we see in our heart Krishna, Shyama Sundara, meaning the Krishna we are worshipping, Gopal. We see him in our heart. And then in the end of the purport, he explains that the yogis, it's very often explained in the Bhagavatam, when you follow Ashtanga Yoga, mystic yoga, the goal is that you see the Paramatma in your heart. Meaning you follow all these processes, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Dharana, Dhyana, Pratyahara, Samadhi. Yeah, you follow, I don't think these were all the eight, but anyways, you follow all this very strict. You sit in the forest, you make yourself a pillow with a deer skin and kusha grass, and you made all the yamas and niyamas on the asanas, so you practice and you can sit now for many years in yogic posture and just meditate. And what are you meditating upon? The super soul. You meditate on the Paramatma. And how? You visualize in your heart the Paramatma as described in the Vedic scriptures. And with time, the vision becomes manifest in your heart. So to say that you have an inner vision of the super soul in your heart, because it said God is in everyone's heart, Krishna is in everyone's heart as the super soul, with four arms, having a conch shell, a club, lotus flower, and the chakra. And he's a very beautiful God in the heart. And you can see him. Everyone can see him if you follow this process. And suddenly you see him and you're, of course, very happy. Imagine you see God in your meditation, in your heart. And it said the devotee, the yogi, cannot stop looking at this wonderful vision. And is completely absorbed. So this Prabhupada explains also that this is also possible of seeing Krishna. So our process, of course, Bhakti Yoga, and through this more and more we could become purified, and Krishna reveals himself and becomes a very active part in our life. And he comes closer and closer, and for the pure devotee, is the only purpose in life. Let's say like this, Prabhupada says here, that he cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord. And this is then the platform of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course. It's called Vipra Lamba Seva, meaning Seva in separation. Meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embodying this. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He was haunted but is haunted, besessen of this thought, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? It was everything he was thinking about. He was so absorbed in Krishna. So this is practical. We can learn, we can practice this, that we, especially in the 7th and in the 9th and in the 7th and 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you can read this description. There are four verses, beginning with Rasoham Apsukantya, Prabhashmi, this verse. Then the second is Punyoganda Prithivyam Cha, I am the original smell of the earth. Start with this, and then the other one, Bijam Mam Sarabhutanam Vidiparta Sanatanam, and the last one, very famous, Balam Balantam Chaham Kamara Gavivarcham Dharmo Virudha Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatashava, where Krishna says, I am a sex life which is not contradictory to the religious scriptures. And this verse also. So these four verses are actually very helpful for developing a vision for Krishna, where he says, I am the taste in water, I am the smell of the earth, I am the fire and this and that. And then when you see these different aspects of this world, you remind yourself, oh, Krishna. We can train like this. And this is why Krishna gives it as a help. And more we can learn to see Krishna everywhere and be reminded of Krishna in all the details of this world. And everything. And then the whole world itself, when you look at it, how amazing is it is, you see, how smart is Krishna to do something like this? How can he build a sun, or a tree, or an atom, or a human being, or the brain, or whatever? It's all the creation of Krishna is most amazing, astonishing. The creation is the proof for his existence. So there are many things like this you can learn, can practice, and the world becomes very nice, very interesting then. Very interesting. So I think this is a little practical. And then, of course, very practical, seeing Krishna, experiencing Krishna, the holy name. Always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And not only 16 rounds. Prabhupada says minimum 16 rounds. Yeah, when you have more time, chant more Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, as someone who has association with people who like to drink, he becomes an alcoholic. And if you hang out with people who like to chant a lot, and you chant more too, you become addicted to the holy name too. So more chanting leads to more chanting. More chanting. So it's also very practical. Always chant Hare Krishna. And never stop chanting Hare Krishna. Never stop following this path. Never go away from ISKCON. Never. It's the most stupid thing you can do. Yeah. Because this is the path back to home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So we should take this very serious. This is an present. Is imprisoned by Krishna himself who pulled us out of the material world. Everyone is wandering throughout the material world completely crazy. Who was not crazy before? Doing crazy things. And suddenly Krishna sees, oh, he's ripe somehow. And he sends a devotee, he sends a book, he sends this and that. And suddenly we become devotees, we can become devotees. This is his mercy. So we shouldn't treat this like something, or misuse it or neglect it. It's like someone knocks on your door and he has in his hand a big cake. And you say, what is this? It's a cake for you. I made a present for you. You're my good friend. Here, I made this for you. And you take it and you throw it in the corner. I don't care. This is pretty not nice. Or so Krishna comes himself and gives the holy name. Says, please chant Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes to give all the conditioned souls the holy name. So we should take the holy name very reverential and very respectful. Thank you very much, and I will take care of it very nicely. It's a present. And then the more respect we show in this way and be more sincere, the more we become Krishna conscious. We should want to become Krishna conscious. This is Krishna conscious, that you see Krishna everywhere and you develop your relationship with Krishna. Become ecstatic. We should be ecstatic all the time. When we are not ecstatic, when we are not happy, there's something wrong. A devotee is always happy. And then you go out preaching in this mood. People, of course, they take the books. Of course, they want to be devotees. You see, wow, why is he? They are so special. These people are so special. Of course, yes. And you meet nice people and it works. We have to be glowing examples of Krishna consciousness. How you want to distribute Krishna consciousness when you don't experience it? Oh, the books, oh, Bhagavad Gita, boring. So, you know, how you want to distribute Bhagavad Gita if you don't love Bhagavad Gita and relish Bhagavad Gita and know Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada says, what do you want to say if they ask you, and how is the book? Do you read the book? And say, no, my dear sir, I only sell the book. I don't read them. Prabhupada said, you want to say this to the people? No, my dear sir, I only sell the books. And he said, your spiritual master wrote these books for you to read. And when you read these books, automatically you think, everyone has to know this. Here, take it. Huh? Please, read it. And suddenly you meet people and say, oh, really? Yes, okay, take it. How many books we are not distributing all the time? How is it possible? So this is very important. This spiritual advancement is not just for us, but actually that we can preach. Like Prabhupada, one man, so effective. Why? Because he was a pure devotee. And he said, pure devotee can save the whole world in 18 days. Because the battle of Kurukshetra, 18 days. So he said, in 18 days we can conquer this world. And he said something, when we have 10 or something like this, 10 pure devotees, we can conquer the world in 18 days. But unfortunately, we do not have. I have only monkeys. Prabhupada said once, I'm like Lord Ramachandra. He had also an army of monkeys. So I have also, my disciples also, army of monkeys. Not very qualified. When Prabhupada went to Vrindavan and they went to Radhakund, of course Radhakund is most important. And then the devotees went there and they were first time, oh, it's Radhakund, and they were jumping inside and Saito and jumping like water bombs. And this is not good. So Prabhupada heard this and said, stop it immediately, never go in Radhakund. Don't go in Radhakund. So we're quite wild at that time, the devotees. Now we become a little bit more cultured, we know more the etiquette and this and that. And so in this way we become gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. We should be ladies and gentlemen. In the beginning we are hippies and whatever, we come from a materialistic background and we bring all this stuff. But with time we should become Vaishnavas. Not that we think we are already Vaishnavas, we should become Vaishnavas. Etiquette and culture and respect and humility, all the good qualities. And then we are very, how to say, very glowing examples of Krishna consciousness. And when you meet a person, they can see this. Oh, this is a cultured person and they like to hear. Like Prabhupada, he was a gentleman, he was a respectable, great personality. So this is also practical, that we work on ourselves and get rid of the lower qualities in our heart. It's the reason why we should dress in devotional clothing also. It helps for our consciousness. So, as example. Okay. That was, I hope, something practical. A little practical. Thank you very much. Any questions in this regard?
Yes, please. You have said the yogi take a skin of an animal.
Yeah, deer skin.
Yeah, why is it there?
Because deers can keep away the insects and snakes, and somehow it's said for the yogi it's very helpful. It's even said in Bhagavad Gita. Uh-huh. Even this chapter what we are reading now, where it's called Dhyana Yoga, and there it's explained how the yogi should meditate. And there Krishna himself says, as far as I remember, he says this, should make a seat. I don't know if he says the deer skin, but in the Bhagavatam he says. Or someone remembers.
Ja, sie spricht ja nicht den Prinzipien. Ne?
Doch.
Wenn sie ein Tier heißt.
Mach doch nichts. Dafür sind die Tiere da. Okay. Dass man auf ihnen sitzen kann. No, die sterben ja auch von selbst. Aber wo ist dieser Vers? Anyways, ich kann vielleicht nochmal gucken. But this is the description, it said deer skin, a special deer skin. Mm-hmm. In the Vedic culture they made also animal sacrifice.
Well, I read this before and therefore I...
Yeah. The point is, all things can be used in Krishna's service, in yajna, and according to Vedic scriptures some things are allowed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where to get the deer skin. I don't know where, if they kill the animal or they get it. But if an animal is killed in a yajic process, it makes advancement. If it's killed without a spiritual purpose, then it's of course horrible. No? But if an animal in some way is killed in a spiritual process, like in a yajna or in this situation, then it makes advancement. And it can become even human. Normally the animal has to go through this evolution of different animals, right? To become a human, you have to go through a long chain of different animals because the consciousness has to ripen, so to say. But if an animal is killed in a spiritual sense, then it can become immediately human. Mm-hmm. And it's delivered from this horrible chain of animal birth. So if this is known and this is done, then killing an animal is no problem. But if it's done like nowadays, just for fun and for eating and without purpose, this doesn't help the soul in this animal. Okay. No. So I don't know how they do this here with the deer skin, but just to give this principle. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.